talking about Together We Sow. Now, last week I touched on the subject of daily divine encounters, and hope that you guys had a chance to watch that. And last week, Lori didn't have a chance to be here.
Speaking of last week, I did watch it, and I saw that my husband said that the first time we met, that his first impression of me was that I was a spoiled pastor's daughter. And I would just have a rebuttal for that. It wasn't a year later that somebody was real interested in that spoiled pastor's daughter, and he started calling me, and he was not a smooth operator, okay? He would call me with these really lame, hi, I was just calling to see what time is youth tonight? And I'd be like, well, it's the same time it always is for the last year, 7 o'clock. And then he'd be like, oh, what are you doing? So anyway.
All right, that's enough. All right. Lori and I were prepping this week, just kind of going over thoughts about growing up and when we first started tithing and what we learned from tithing. And Lori had told me a story that I'd never heard before, and I'd like her to share it with you now. And it's in regards of turquoise boots.
I'm going to tell y'all the story of my turquoise boots, okay? This changed my life in my opinion of giving. But when I was 12 years old, growing up in the 80s in Fort Worth, Texas, I would get dropped off at the mall with my friends, okay? Anybody remember getting dropped off at the mall and spending the whole day there? Well, it was one of those days when I saw something in a store window, and I just had to have them, and it was a pair of turquoise boots, okay? It's going to come up on your screen. So that's not probably the actual boots, but in my mind, that's what they look like. And, Texas girl, turquoise boots, I needed to stand out. I needed those boots. So I went in the store, and I looked at the price. They were $85, and I was 12 years old getting ready to start 7th grade. Where was I going to get $85? But you know what? I was determined. So I thought, well, I'll clean the house. I'll mow the lawn. I will save my money, and I did. That summer, I was just busy girl, and I had a empty Tootsie Roll cans. You remember those things? And I saved my cash in that Tootsie Roll can, and the day came, it was finally full, and I was ready to go buy those. Well, that Sunday at church, I think we happened to be in some kind of a missions week. And my dad, man, he was all about missions. And guess what the Lord said to me at the end of the service? He said, Lori, I want you to give everything in that Tootsie Roll can to this missions program. And I said, oh, my turquoise boots, Lord. You're asking a lot. But, I knew that, I had the week to think about it, and I just wasn't going to argue with God. I knew he'd spoken to me, and I wanted to please him. So I brought my turquoise boot money in the next Sunday and put it in the offering. And wasn't too long after that, probably within the week, my mom called me and my sister in. And she, I was, like I said, 12. My sister was probably 14. And school was about to start. She said, girls, I have some bad news. Your dad and I were in the red. We're in the red. I'd never heard this in the red before, and I came to find out it meant you're broke and you're struggling to pay your bills, and there would be no new school clothes. I was like, what? 7th grade? I'm starting this new junior high, and I have no new clothes, no turquoise boots. Lord, but you're 12, so you get over it. And I moved on. And it wasn't a couple days later, my mom called me and my sister in. She said, you guys are not going to believe this, but Don and Carolyn Moore, a couple in our church, they called me this morning. And the Lord had talked to them during the night. One of them had a dream. The other one just couldn't get you girls off their mind. And they woke up and they said, both of them looked at each other and they're like, Joni and Lori, we're supposed to do something for them for school. We're supposed to buy them their school clothes. And they called my mom and told him, Bonnie, we want to take your girls shopping and get them whatever they need for school. Well, we were like, what? This is amazing. So Carolyn took me and my sister shopping, and we went back to that mall. And, we just got everything we could possibly need for school. And then the end of the day came, and she looked at us, and she said, girls, now, I know you probably think you've got everything you need, but I need to ask you one thing. Is there that one thing that you just really want? Maybe it's out of your typical price range, but you've just really, really wanted it. And, you know, it's not too late. Tell me what that is, and I'm going to buy it for you. And I go, I have something. I don't know what my sister wanted. That didn't matter. I said, can I show you these boots? Sure. So guess what, y'all? She took me to that store. I tried those boots on, and she bought me those turquoise boots. Yeah. I think I probably wore them one time. I mean, honestly, what are you going to wear with turquoise boots? But I never forgot that lesson that God showed up. He blessed me in more ways than I could have possibly imagined for my step of obedience. And that is where that kind of leads me into my first thought. And you're already going, uh-oh, they're talking about money today. Some of you guys, you don't like it when we have tithing sermons because, well, you don't like it if you're not tithing. You get real nervous and, you know. But I just want to say, just relax. This is good news today. In fact, it's great news. Tithing, giving God 10%, it's not a debt you owe, okay? I don't want you to think of it as that way anymore. And that leads me to my first point. And this is a phrase coined by Oral Roberts. You might have heard of him, a founder of Oral Roberts University. In his book, The Miracle of Seed Faith. And here it is. Here's my first point. You don't owe the tithe. You sow the tithe. Yeah? And so, now I'm going to start talking like I know a lot about planting and harvesting, but I actually have one plant in my house and it's dying. So I don't really ever do this. But so, the word sow means to plant seed by scattering it on or in the earth. And back in Genesis 8:22, in the very beginning of time, God said, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. In that same scripture, he says there's always going to be day and night, there's always going to be winter and summer, there's always going to be cold and heat. There's always going to be seed time and harvest. So again, don't know a lot about farming, but just common sense, you know, tells me a few things. I know if I want to grow wheat, I have to plant a wheat seed. Am I correct? Does everybody agree with that? I know I'll harvest wheat where I planted my seed. I'm not going to grow sunflowers where I planted wheat. I'm going to grow wheat. If I don't sow seeds, what will I harvest? Weeds. Weeds. I actually will harvest something. I will harvest weeds. And I know that the more seeds I plant, the more wheat I'll harvest, right? Did you know that 1 pound of wheat, 1 pound of wheat seed can produce 1.5 bushels of grain? Now, I don't know how much a bushel is, but I do know that that translates into about 90 pounds of grain. So if I plant 1 pound of wheat seed, I'm going to get 90 pounds of grain. That's quite a return for my little 1 pound of seeds I've planted. So this idea of seed time and harvest, something God designed throughout the Bible, it's also known as sowing and reaping, right? Jesus taught this in Luke 6:38. He says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And Paul taught this also to the church in Galatia. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So here's a power thought for you right now, okay? God only multiplies the seeds we sow. If we don't sow any seeds, then there's nothing to multiply. Now, we see this very clearly in the miracle of the 5,000. How many of you guys know that Jesus could have just said, oh, the people are hungry. Okay, poof, bread, poof, you know, fish, right? He's God. He can speak things into existence. But does he do that? No. He says, what do you have? What can you, so he's, well, we've got this little boy. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bring it here. And then he proceeds to do the miracle of multiplying. And how many leftover baskets after he fed the 5,000 plus the women and children. How many baskets? 12 baskets of leftovers. So our God is a God of abundance, but he works this way. He wants to start with something that we give. Now, I want to hold up, I want to read this scripture to you, Matthew 17, 20. If Jesus said this, he compared faith to a seed. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I received this little bottle of mustard seeds, okay? I received it back in 2009 from a man named Angus Buchan. And Angus Buchan was a guest on the 700 Club. I used to produce all the guest segments on the show, so I've met a lot of really amazing people, but he's one that I'll never forget. Angus gave me this little bottle, and he passes these little things out wherever he goes, and he always tells people, if we plant the seed of faith, Jesus makes it grow. And by the way, I couldn't hold up a mustard seed because they're so small, so I drew a little dot on my finger to show you how big they are. Can you even see that dot? No, they're so small, okay? But these little tiny seeds grow the biggest herb plant in the garden. They'll be, you think of normal herb plants, you get about this size. These things are like 6 to 20 feet tall. They're huge, right? Well, Angus's story, again, he would know about mustard seed. He was featured in a film called Faith Like Potatoes. Anybody ever see that movie? Great movie. If you never watched it, look it up and watch it. But he's this farmer in South Africa, and he has a radical encounter meeting Jesus Christ, and when he starts his walk as a Christian, he begins to see God do supernatural things when he prayed. And so Angus has just moved his family to South Africa. It's in the late 90s. It's during a time of unprecedented drought. Okay, and he moves his family to this new piece of land that has no form of irrigation on the land. There's no way to water anything that's put into the ground, anything that's planted, and nothing is growing. It's a drought season. But Angus is praying, and the Lord tells him, plant your potatoes, plant your potato seeds. And he's, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to trust you. But Lord, I can't water them, and it's a drought. So it's like 100 degrees outside, and the ground is totally hard, crusty, dry, but I'll do it. So he plants potato seeds. His neighboring farmers were like, no, Angus, you're crazy. You're wasting your what little you have, you're wasting. I'm going to trust God. And guess what? When the harvest time comes, he has such a big crop of potatoes, but not just any potatoes. He has those giant potatoes, okay? So big that it caught the attention of the news and everyone around him. And he ended up, again, if Angus did not plant those seed potatoes, he would not have had the giant potato harvest, right? There would be no Faith Like Potatoes movie. Angus would not have gone on to become a worldwide evangelist who continues to lead thousands of people to Jesus. And it goes back to that moment when he sowed those little potato seeds into that dry, hard, crusty ground by faith, the faith of a mustard seed. So when I give, when I sow my seed, my tithes, my offerings, I expect to receive. Oh, Lori, you shouldn't give expecting to receive. No, we're not about the prosperity gospel. Well, I've already told you guys several times, what does prosperity mean? Prosperity means having all that I need to do what God has called me to do. All right? So many Christians think, oh, no, you need to give without expecting anything. Just be content, you know, with the what you have, the little whatever. But, you know, that's not Bible. Okay, let's go back to that scripture I read. Jesus said, this is the words of Jesus, when I give or when I sow my seed, my tithes, my offerings, I expect to receive. I'm just reading my other one. Okay. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Give, and you will receive. This is the words of Jesus. He doesn't say give and be content. He says, oh no, expect a return. Expect to get back something. Can you even imagine a farmer planting seeds without expecting a harvest? How dumb. Like, who does? Nobody would do that. Or a farmer, he goes and he takes care of his land and puts the seeds in and then leaves and then never checks on it. Never. No. He's going back to see, how's it doing? Is it growing? Am I going to get a 30-fold increase, a 60-fold increase, a 100-fold increase? That's what he's looking for. He knows he's going to get more than what he planted. And that's okay when we give to know that God wants to give you back more than what you sowed. Amen? So from now on, don't think of your tithe as something you owe, but something you sow. Say that again. Don't think of your tithe as something you owe, but something you sow. You're sowing into the kingdom of God, and you will reap a harvest.
Come on, guys. That's some good teaching right there. And that just kind of leads me into my thought. My thought here it is that do not rob God of the opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. To bless you. So do not rob God of the opportunity to bless you. Now, my point literally rests on stories and scripture. I'm going to share stories of my life. I thought it would be better for me just to stand up before you and be transparent, sharing some things that are dear to me, but also looking at what God's word says and that there would be revelation through it. Now, this past Tuesday morning, I was downstairs having some breakfast, and normally Lori and I don't meet in the bathroom because she's either gone before I am or I am before her, but there are occasions where she is in the restroom getting ready, and so there's something that happens between us. It's a routine that happens every time, is that when I go up to take a shower, she doesn't want me in there because the hot water will mess up her hair as she's going to work. Ladies, y'all know what I'm talking about? Because, I don't really relate to that, but anyway, so I go, I open the door, and here's what she says. She always goes, really? Right now? You're going to get in the shower? And then I go, yes, can I have permission to get in the shower, Lori? So just so you'll know, Lori gives me permission when I get to take a shower. But I go up, I start to go get in the shower, and Lori goes, Matt, there's a message by Pastor Rob Morris of Gateway Church. How many of you guys have heard of Gateway Church, Gateway Worship? So she had a message, and she said, I've never heard him say anything, or I've never heard this something like this before, and I want you to hear it. And I said, okay, you know, go ahead and put it on the Bluetooth, and I'll listen to it. Well, she goes, the title of the message he's doing is Don't Rob God. Now, my first thought was, I've already heard hundreds of messages on this, or I've heard him speak on this many times, so I kind of had a little bit of a attitude, I guess you could say that, but I get into the shower, and his topic was based off of Malachi 3. Now, let me set this up. The night before, Monday night, we're sitting here talking about scriptures and stories, getting the message kind of set up the way we want to go, and she's telling me her thoughts, and I'm going, wow, man, she has great thoughts, and I've got nothing, you know, and she leads me down there, and so I'm watching a cowboy movie on Grit TV, on television, or the channel, and in the commercial, all of a sudden, God just goes, he says, opportunity, and guys, it was like he painted it across the wall in my living room. He just said opportunity. And so I went to bed with that. I didn't know what to do with it. So here I am now in the shower with Lori's permission. And so I'm in there, and Pastor Rob begins to talk, and he bases it off of this scripture right here, Malachi 3:8. Let's read this together. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And God responds, in tithes and offerings. Then Pastor Morris makes this statement. So you guys listen to this. He says, don't rob God of an opportunity to bless you. So guys, when I heard him say opportunity, I was covered instantly from the top of my head to the soles of my feet with shower-induced Holy Spirit goosebumps. It just got me so, and I go, Lori, turn it off. And she's like, what? I go, babe, that's exactly the word that God gave me last night, was dealing with opportunity. Guys, how many of you can think of those moments where God confirms a word he's given to you? So that's what's going on with me. It just resonated with me. The truth of generosity, the giving of the tithe and offering, and the fresh revelation that of we are not robbing God of money, we're robbing him of opportunities to bless us. Amen? So let me just go to a story. Back in 1984, I have given my heart to Jesus, and I have actually started tithing. I didn't make a lot of money. You know, I was just a young 18-year-old kind of trying to make some money. I worked for Wet n' Wild as a lifeguard. Then I worked at, how many of y'all remember Swenson's Ice Cream? Okay, if you don't know it anyway, in the South, it was. I worked at Swenson's Ice Cream, but I had some money, but I began to tithe. So fast forwarding into 1985, I'm kind of having a pouting session, talking to a mentor in my college and career group. And he's talking with me, and he's asking me what's going on. I said, well, all these others, you know, Lori and everybody that's in the group, it seems like God has just blessed them. And I've been tithing. I've been trying my best to live for him. And it's just not really kind of, I don't feel like I'm walking in the blessing that they are. And he goes, well, let's review your year. How many of you guys know I'm about to get a whooping, a spiritual whooping here? So we start to review my year. I found this church, Bethel Temple in Fort Worth, Texas, where John Wilkerson is the pastor, her dad. He becomes a mentor of mine. My parents had bought me in 1984 a brand new Honda CRX Red. Y'all remember CRXs? It was the first release. And so I had that. I always had work. I went on that missions trip to the 84 Olympics and actually tithed some money toward a buddy so he could go to help pay for his way. Lori comes into my life. I get to meet Dick Foth, who was there preaching at her church, who was the president of Bethany University, that ends up inviting me to come and play basketball and to pursue my ministerial degree. And so, guys, I'm standing there, and have you ever felt like when you're in the middle of something and something's happening, you're getting revelation, and it's like your brain is being rewired? My brain is being rewired, and here's the thing is that I was sitting there and realizing how much God had blessed me and the opportunities that he had given me in just 1 year of giving my life and giving my tithe to him and to the kingdom. Guys, the challenge that God gives us is found in two scriptures later, Malachi 3:10. Look at this. He says, test me in this. Guys, God's asking you, just give me a chance to prove to you that what I have set up is going to bless you in the long run. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I don't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much money. What does it say, guys? That we pour out blessing. We're robbing him of opportunity to bless us. That there will be not enough room enough to store it. I'm just blown away. Spiritually standing and looking at the blessing that God had poured out of my life and the opportunities that he has done to bless. Here's just a thought. Keep it. Treasure it. When we sow, blessing will flow. It's that simple. It always has amazed me how much influence money or the subject of money has over us. In fact, me just saying money makes you tap to make sure you got your purse and your wallet. Some of you say, well, money's not that important to me. Well, it is. We got to have money to pay our rent, our mortgage. We need money to have food. We need money to have clothes. We need money just to be able to put gas into our cars. You see, money identifies us whether we want to be identified by it or not. Upper class, upper middle class, you know, middle class, lower middle class, lower class. You see, money can create battle lines. Money can bring out multiple personalities out of us. Money can take on the persona of savior one day and destroyer the next. Money splits families in two. I didn't even share this in the first service, but I went with a buddy one time because he was so scared to be with his family after their grandmother died. And we walk in, you know those little stickers you see at garage sales that tells the price? Their family had already gone through that entire house sticking stickers of who was going to get what. And they're fighting, they're cussing each other out, they're fighting over money. It was splitting that family in two. Money can overcome your thoughts, influence your decisions. It will pick you up and it will knock you down. It is a daily integrated part of who we are. Guys, this is my wallet. And basically, I've got like some insurance cards in here, my license. There's some stuff in here, you know, whatever. But really, there's two cards I pay attention to. And one of them is my ATM card. Okay, it's the red one that you can kind of see sticking out of the top. And guys, here's the thing is that if one of those cards, if that card or my wallet is missing and that card is in there, I am going to freak out. Turning the house upside down, trying to figure out where did this wallet go. I mean, I could literally throw it on the floor and act like I don't care, but the whole time I'd be sitting here trying to preach my message, I'd be worried Chuck is going to come and steal my wallet. So I'm just going to pick it up and put it back in my pocket. That's right. Guys, check out this video, and then I'm going to tell you some story about it. This is me in 2018.
I fell on the same fault this one time.
Lori's pulling me in a Highlander.
Oh, stop.
Okay, so we had been doing that all day. Me, Morgan, my son, Sky, Lori's pulling, you know, we're just taking turns kind of snowboarding. This had a lot of snow in 2018. But see, and I had the wreck, and we just kind of called it a day after that. And so I go home that night. Lori wants some stuff from the store, so I go to, you know, get in the car, and I can't find my wallet. We're looking all over for it. Don't know where it is. And so, Lori ends up giving me hers, and I go and do some shopping. Well, it's bothering me all night. I can't find it. I'm looking. I'm turning over stuff. I'm actually starting to get irritated. And I actually even told my kids, I will give you $20, whoever finds my wallet. And so they're going. We're turning over things the next morning. Still cannot find my wallet. And guys, all of a sudden, my body just goes, I know where it is. And I got in my car, and I was hoping it was, and I pulled around to where that exact site where I fell, and look at my wallet. I found it in the snow, covered in snow. It was still there, and you guys see that red card? That's all I cared about. Was it still in my wallet? If money becomes our Lord, if it is given authority over our lives, then money becomes master, and we will never move into the blessing or the blessings that God has for our future. Jesus speaks to this in a very short scripture. And he says it here in Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve both God and money. When we decide to withhold our tithes or our offerings, we block God's opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. To bless us. I want to share one more story, and I'm going to bring my point to a close. In 2018, I had just stepped down as lead pastor at 3-in-1 Church, and my chapter was there, was over, and so I get into real estate. I think I had sold a couple of homes, hadn't really, you know, got my clientele built up, so I had to Uber for a couple months. So around Christmas of 2018, I'm Ubering just to make some extra cash so that we could have a decent Christmas. Well, I'm in a parking lot. I dropped somebody off at a hair thing, and so I went to Starbucks to get a coffee to take off to pick up my next person. And I go back to my car, and here's this purse, like a bag purse that had been run over by a car, and I picked it up, and I just see cash. And I just jump in my car real fast because I'm like, did I just pick up a drug bag? I didn't know what was going on, you know? And I'm looking around like, whoa, you know? And so I look in there, and there's $600 in 100s, $300 in 20s. There's a dealer's card. There's a Macy's card. There's a Nordstrom Rack card. There's restaurant gift cards. And all of a sudden, it dawns on me, this is a Christmas bag. Somebody had dropped their Christmas right here. And so I find an ATM card from Town Bank. I get out of my car, I look across the parking lot, sure enough, there's a Town Bank. So I go over there and I said, I think one of your patrons, which I don't use that word very, you know, patron, frequents your business. You know, anyway, I don't talk like that. But anyway, here, do you know if this person banks at your bank? And so she looks it up, says, yes, sir. And I go, well, this is hers. Please make sure she gets this back. She wants my name and number. And I thought, at first, I didn't want to give it to her because I thought they would go, hey, you took $200. But I didn't, you know, but I gave them my number and my name. Well, guys, I had forgotten about it, kind of moved on. A couple nights later, I get a call. Don't recognize the number. I go, hey, this is Matt Stewart. Mr. Matt! And there's this lady on the other end of the phone just crying and screaming and thanking me. And can you please meet us at the bank the next day? And I go, yes, ma'am, I'll go. And so on the way, I'm driving over, and I've already decided I'm not taking anything from this family. I walk in the bank. The entire bank is waiting on me. Mr. Stewart, come this way. And they, you know, they walk us in. I'm walking through, and everybody, you know, and we go into a room, and here's an Indian family, a husband, wife, a grandma, and two kids. And as soon as I come through the door, they just start crying, jumping up and down, screaming. I got a couple of the kids are wrapped around my legs, holding me, and they come over, and they're just thanking me and thanking me, and they go, we want to give you $200. I said, no, I will not take that. And they said, well, please take 100. I said, ma'am, I want that to be a blessing to you. I just want it to be a blessing. And I'm fighting them. I won't take a restaurant card. I won't take a dealer's card. They're just trying to do something. Finally, she takes my hands and she goes, Mr. Matt, please let us bless you. So I ended up taking a restaurant card, and she gave me $40 or $50 or whatever it is. But I just remember walking out of there, and guys, no one will ever be able to convince me that finding that purse was just a coincidence. It was 100% an opportunity for God to be a blessing to that family, but also to be a blessing to me. Come on, give me an amen. 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 Guys, I would say this. Do not wait. Do not hold back. Do not compare yourself to somebody else. Don't get trapped in that. What is God saying to you? What are you hearing? What needs to change so that you can begin sowing into the kingdom? It is by what I give, what I sow, that God multiplies the blessing back to me. Let me give you these two scriptures, and I'm going to sit down. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. The same scripture in another translation says, he who watches the wind waiting for all the conditions to be perfect will not sow seed, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap a harvest. Bless you guys.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. God will multiply my giving in supernatural ways. That's our last point today. God will multiply your giving in supernatural ways. I've already mentioned that God multiplies, and Matt mentioned this too, he multiplies the seeds we sow. And I want to share with you of how God multiplied a seed that we sowed back in 2000. It's 22 years ago. But our story, the story that happened to us, was turned into a video that aired in 2020 on the 700 Club. I never imagined this story would become TV, but it did. So let me set it up. In March of 2000, our family lived in Hayward, California. That's basically the San Francisco Bay Area, right next to the Silicon Valley that we've all heard of. But technology at this time, remember it's 2000, so the internet's just really come alive. All the dot-coms are exploding, stock market's exploding, real estate prices are going higher and higher. We got in on some of that, and then everything crashed. So take a look.
As a producer for the 700 Club, Lori Stewart sees firsthand the impact CBN has on people's lives.
I love telling people's stories, stories of people finding Christ and the way God just radically transforms people. It's just never-ending joy to see that happen.
For almost 20 years, Lori has also been a CBN partner. That story begins in the late 1990s when she and her husband were living in the Bay Area of California and the dot-com boom was in full swing.
He was an associate pastor at a church. I was working at a Christian school as a teacher. We weren't making much money, but God was faithful.
With two children and a third on the way, Lori and Matt decided to sell their home and buy a bigger one. But instead of using the money for a down payment, they invested it in the booming stock market.
We literally bought $40,000 worth of technology stocks.
In the immediate future, we started to see those numbers go up. We were excited.
Then, the dot-com bubble burst.
I was actually at home watching TV and watching the numbers on the NASDAQ just dropping like in real time. We had lost almost $40,000 within probably 24 hours.
We just went back to being really tight and had to relearn how to live, you know, what to buy, what not to buy. And it got real tight.
Even then, Matt and Lori continued to tithe, but they were reluctant to give more. Until one day, Lori happened to flip on the 700 Club.
I don't think I'd had it on for more than 3 minutes when a woman was asking for people to give pledges and to join the 700 Club. And I just remember so clearly the Holy Spirit said, I want you to give.
She immediately started making excuses and reminding God of all the money they'd lost.
He said, that's why you need to give. You need to give toward that loss. You need to give in spite of that loss.
Soon after she sent in her pledge, Lori started to see unexpected blessings.
My sister, who had been away from God for 25 years, got saved watching the 700 Club.
Lori says God also opened a door for her to teach at an exclusive private school. Not only did it pay more, but her three kids could attend for free. Then a family member gave them the down payment for a new house.
Which came out of nowhere. We were not expecting it.
And that down payment was the money we had lost in that .com. And it was just mind-blowing.
As the Lord blessed them, the Stewards increased their CBN pledge.
I want to show him by giving that I trust him, that he's faithful, he's going to come through.
God just really blessed us in that time.
In 2005, Lori and Matt answered God's call and moved to Virginia. She went to Regent University while working part-time in the CBN Prayer Center. Matt continued working in church ministry. Still, they were faithful to give, and God was faithful to provide for them and their family.
The Lord has always been there to pick us back up, to put us back on our feet, and give us a future.
After graduating, Lori went on to work for the 700 Club, and today, she's a producer for the show.
The mission statement of CBN has really been my life's mission, which is to preach the gospel around the world.
Matt and Lori want others to know that trusting God was the key to turning their finances around.
There is a blessing that I cannot describe, I cannot put down on paper, and I can't figure out a mathematical formula for it. It's just that I know that as I gave, as Lori and I made that decision to give, the blessings of the Lord began to immediately show up.
If the Holy Spirit's telling you to give, say yes, because there's blessings on the other side of that obedience.
All right. Y'all didn't know your pastors could act. I mean, those reenactments, wow.
Yeah. Thanks, Lord, she's pretty, because I would have to.
But I just wanted to use this story as a way of, I just want to share with you all the things I didn't get to say in the video, the ways that God has multiplied that seed we sowed into CBN. And that was a gift that we gave. You know, we were already tithing and giving to other ministries, but this was something that we just thought, okay, we're going to sow into CBN. I never imagined that one day I'd work at CBN. I mean, it's mind-blowing to me that it's still mind-blowing that I work here. But think about how many years now I've worked there since 2008. I mean, the salary alone, how the money's come back to me that I gave $20 a month, right? I also have attended Regent, part of CBN, and my son now attends at Regent. Another way it's blessed me. I was able to be on the show when I wrote my books, and the day I was on the show, that next day, my book went to number one in three categories on Amazon. My books were in number one for a week. What? I never imagined. And when this giving testimony aired on the 700 Club in 2020, I'm able to see the numbers of how many people give. We do these telethons, and that's how we raise our finances for the year, and it's how we do all of our work, Operation Blessing, Orphans Promise, the TV shows that we have around the world, 60 languages, but we really count on these. And the day that our story aired, it was the highest giving day that we had, that telethon, after our story aired. It was such a effective story that they used it again on Giving Tuesday that year, and we had another windfall of gifts. I wish I could tell you how much, but just know that it is just wow. I mean, God used our loss of $40,000, but it's come back into the kingdom multiplied. But of course, my favorite part of the story is that my sister Lynn, who'd been away from God for 25 years, an alcoholic, had been married 5 times, you know, 2 kids from different marriages that for most of their younger years they had to live with my mom because she couldn't raise them. I mean, she had a hard life. And my parents and all of our family, we prayed for her for years. And then she gets saved watching the 700 Club. I mean, come on, God. And that I forgot to tell this in first service, but when I came to work at the 700 Club, I told them about Lynn's testimony. We went and shot her story, aired it on the club. It became one of the top 3 salvation stories of that year. Thousands of people have been saved watching my sister's story. So how does God multiply a little seed? I don't know. It's miraculous. But God will supernaturally multiply the seed that you sow. And I just want to read this one scripture and also invite the worship team up. Come on up. Don't we love our worship team? That is so good today. Thank you so much. So I want to leave you with this verse. It's 2 Corinthians 9:6. So remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. God will multiply your giving in supernatural ways. And it's exciting. Isn't that good news? It's not a debt you owe. It's a seed you sow. How exciting to see what your harvest is going to be.
Before we talk about this, we're going to have the ushers pass out. Dana, would you come up here and just kind of share the word that God gave you this
morning? Yeah, can we have the ushers come pass out some cards?
I was sharing with Pastor Matt and Pastor Lori that for like the last 10 days, the Lord has been putting this word in my spirit. And everywhere I go, I'm telling my friends this, but I realize it's for here and for now this morning when I came in to first service. You know, when we get our check, whatever income we have, there's three different things we do with it. The first thing we do or should always do is sow, giving our tithe, giving our offering, and then we spend whatever our needs are at this season of life, and then we save. So we sow, we spend, and we save, right? And when we save our money over the years, we're saving because we understand that there's going to be a future season. But what we think we're doing is saving for our future season of spending. And the Lord said, no, you're saving for your future season, not just of spending, but of sowing. And I believe that there's many of you that you have even retirement accounts or things that you've saved. Maybe it's your Tootsie Roll jar, but I saw bigger. And when you are not afraid to take from your savings to do sowing in this future season, because God has had you save it for now, for the building of the house of God. And as you sow from your savings in this season, it's going to secure your future. You're not going to need that money to spend for you. Your roof is not going to blow off. You're not going to need new tires, different things. You're not going to need to spend it on healthcare because God is going to take care of you for a harvest off of your seed of sowing now.
Wow, praise God. So as you guys know, we're very soon going to be completed with this first phase of the wrap around our building. And that's going to happen on March 13th. We will be dedicating this. But we will also be breaking ground on the new building for the youth and the children. Yeah, we're getting rid of those trailers. Amen? So one thing we're not going to do right now, so just take a deep breath. We're not taking an offering right now. Oh, she set this up for an offering. Nope. We have set this up because we wanted to pass these cards out today and say on that date that we break ground, which is about 5 weeks from today, we want you guys to have had a chance to pray about what we're going to sow into this future harvest, because we're going to have one. We're going to have a big one. But what is your responsibility in that? We can't do it unless we all do it together. And I'm talking to the youth. I'm talking to even children if you're in here. I'm talking to grandparents. I'm talking to single people. I'm talking to young adults. I'm talking to married couples. What is your responsibility in this future harvest? What are you to sow? So you've got 5 weeks to pray on this. We're not going to do an emotional giving right now because this is going to be something you're going to commit to and you're going to partner with us and you're going to have time to pray about this. Amen.
On the back of the card, it actually talks about how to make a pledge. And if you're married, there's a part for you. And if you're single, there's another way. And it kind of walks you through the steps of how to take this to God. And if you can't answer all the